San Francisco Bay Area. It's time for Live from the Bay with Joey. Here's Joey.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Live from the Bay, and we're going to have a great show tonight. Joining me will be from Canada, Nancy Murdoch, who also has a show here on the network. And then a little bit later, we'll be joining us will be the actress, American actress, Channing Chase. So that will be really fun. And so before too much longer here, without further ado, I'm going to bring on Nancy. Hey, Nancy, how are you?
Hey, Joey, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm just great. How cold is it there where you are in Canada?
Well, you know, today was a little warmer. It wasn't double-digit negative numbers.
So, oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I'm not in double thermal underwear and everything in the house today, although
I
have two pairs of socks on.
Wow, so it was cold, huh? Cold.
Yeah, it was cold. The sun was shining.
Nice. Yeah. That's always nice. Yeah.
It is.
So I like the sun, you know. I'm not too fond of really, really cold weather, but I am fond of the sun, and I do like some cold weather. We've been experiencing quite a bit of rain, and, you know, which a little bit of rain is fine, but what happens here is that we don't get it for a while, then we end up in a drought, right? And then all of a sudden, when it starts to rain, it all comes down at once. It's like holding out, right? And then all of a sudden it says, okay, let's just dump on Northern California, and it just, you know, it just comes down in sheets, and it's just like it never stops. And then people, of course, forget how to drive. That's always lovely. So you see those people on the road, and so that's but today I was jazzed because the sun was out, and it was like a spring day, and so that was kind of cool. So, but who knows what tomorrow will bring. We'll probably be back to the same old thing, but that's okay. You know, that's just part of life. And anyway, another thing I was dealing with today was I ended up having to do a stress test, and I know stress is a big thing for people, and I know that you're going to have really a show that's kind of dedicated to that, right? Am I right?
Yeah, to health and wellness and relationships and, you know, this helping to deal with all the stress that can cause people. Yeah, that's why I'm having a show on that.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I think a lot of people, especially here, I've noticed, in the San Francisco Bay Area, deal with stress. It's all around. Today, as I was preparing for my stress test, I was stressed. So, of course, I had to drink like 2 cups of coffee before I went, which doesn't really matter, but it makes you even a little bit more on edge, right? And then just
Help at all. Not at all.
Yeah.
Because what
then I drove. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Because some people don't even know. Like, they just take it for granted that this is how life is, and actually you don't need to be stressed. They just think this is part of life. This is not part of my fast-paced thing, you know, and
right.
And we don't have to be stressed, and it's good to recognize when you are, but we're so far gone that we don't even recognize when we're under stress. It's when
it's terrible.
You know, it's when it's
terrible,
too late and your blood pressure's high and you know, things are starting to go wonky in your body. Yeah,
right.
That we go, oh, you know what, maybe I'm under a little bit too much stress here. I should look at it.
Right. Sometimes the only way I can deal with stress, if it gets too much, is I tune everything out. It's kind of like I sit there to myself and I say, you know what? I can't hear you. I can't see you. And this is what I hear in my head, right?
I can't hear you. I can't see you.
And then what happens, it helps me, you know, it helps me calm down. But today, I'll tell you, I had to go to my cardiologist, and I was preparing for the stress test. And, you know, it was a different environment. The machine was different. This machine is brand new. It raises up quite a bit. And so you're kind of like on a, like a, I don't know, like an incline, but it's up in the air. So that was different than her other office. And the other office was on another side of town, and that machine went haywire. So now I had to, you know, 2 weeks later, I had to go and do it here. And then this was a chaotic office, and everybody was uptight. And then, you know, so I go into that environment, and I'm like, you know, I don't like this. And then they're trying to hook up the wires, you know, and then this girl doesn't know how to put the cuff on, the right cuff for to read my blood pressure. And they're like, oh, you know, his arms are too big, you know, his biceps are too big, so do you have a bigger cuff thing, you know? And I'm like, okay. Then they didn't know which arm they were going to use, you know, and then the doctor was there, it was three people, and it was just getting me more and more uptight. And then I looked at them and I said, now, just out of curiosity, is this part of the stress test? And they all laughed and they said, yeah, we're trying to create more stress for you. I said, exactly. But do you know what? I actually was more stressed. My EKG came out all right, but what didn't come out really all right is you have a target heart rate, which is, they're looking at an 85%, which was, for my age and all that, it was 141 at 85%. And the last time I did it, I reached that target heart rate in about 9 minutes. This time I reached it in 6 minutes. That's not good. So, yeah, so that means I'm kind of out of shape. And then by the time I was done, my heart didn't, I mean, I didn't, my rate didn't go down quickly enough. I mean, you know, it wasn't terrible. But anyway, it just created more stress. So I said to her, I said, well, you know what? I'm changing health plans next month. Can we do another one of these? Like maybe next month? And she's like, no, you have to wait a year. And I'm like, a year? So now I'm going to have to walk more. And you know what I didn't know was, so, you know, I'll do these walks that a half an hour, like tonight I'll probably do one, and I'll for a half an hour. And then, but I guess I don't do it, I don't stress out enough. And you're supposed to stress out your heart more. And I guess I don't stress out my heart enough.
Yeah, you have to get it up to a certain level and hold it there for a certain amount of time. And then, you know, let it,
So that kind of was, that kind of was a bummer, so. But anyway, I'm looking forward to finding out more about your show, and I know it's going to be coming up. And so, and you know what? I think it would be helpful, Nancy, if you could give people your website for the show and maybe the time, the times that it'll be on. And then that way they can go right to it. And I would encourage them to really, because stress is really, stress in any part of your life, whether you're dealing with it in family, marriage, job, whatever, is really paramount today. It seems like it's right out there, and everybody is running around just stressed out, you know.
They are. It's absolutely true. And the website, the Blog Talk Radio site where I have my show is blogtalkradio.com/ Nancy at Noon.
Okay.
And, you know, Joey, I've already got some shows on there for stress.
Okay.
With Ayurveda practitioners, I did them, I think it was last year. We've got quite a few shows on there and about losing weight, natural way to lose weight while de-stressing.
we've
got quite a few shows on there already. So
all right.
You can go listen to those.
That would be great.
Coming.
Yeah, that would be great. So I think I think we're talking at the same time, so we're cutting each other off. I'm sorry, what did you say?
Simple tips that everybody can do naturally.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to change up the pace just a little bit, and we're going to cover some hot topics. And I like to do this. What it is, you know, for the listener, we're going to give you some items, newsworthy items, or items that have come out in the news and you determine whether you think they're newsworthy or not in your life. But some things are kind of a little bit bizarre. Some things are interesting. You might not have known. And so we're just going to crank it up.
We're just going to crank it up, crank it up.
So here we go. I think what I'm going to do is I am going to start this off, Nancy. So I don't know. I take it that I know I drink a lot of coffee, and there's always coffee grounds around, and I'm always trying to figure out what I'm going to do with it, right, with these coffee grounds,
mm-hmm.
right? So
yeah.
Interesting, I just ran across today 10 surprising uses for coffee grounds. Okay, now this was online. I think it was on Yahoo. Okay, you ready? So if you have ants, before you contact a hardware store, you go down there and get some chemical sprays, et cetera. It says you try sprinkling used coffee grounds in problem corners. So apparently the grounds repel snails and slugs too. So, oh, well, that's good because I was thinking, well, you know, you're not going to have snails and slugs in your house unless, of course, you live outside. But anyway, that was kind of interesting. So that's one thing. And then, let's see, rid your fridge of funky smell resulting from bad fruits, vegetables, or spills. So you deodorize the interior with coffee grounds, like, you know, how you do with a box of baking soda. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And then I know about adding it to indoor plant dirt. It helps fertilize, so I know about that. This one I don't think, this is kind of, it's strange. It's kind of messy, but it says it really works. So it says save the money you'd spend on special glossing product from a salon, and when you're washing your hair, you rub coffee grounds in your hair. You know, that might be interesting, but depending on who you're sleeping next to and if whether they like coffee smells or they don't, they may be forever waking up in the middle of the night thinking that the coffee pot is brewing. Anyway, and then let's see. Here's one for you. As you light the last of your winter fires, this is for you. This is for you, Nancy. Keep a can of used grounds next to the fireplace, and when you go to sweep the ashes, first add a little sprinkling of the coffee. It will help with cleanup and cut down on the airborne dust. I got to know that. You got to try that, unless, of course, you don't drink any coffee. But that's interesting. So
I don't drink coffee, but you know what? I'm going to go find some grounds just to try that, because this week I spent an entire day cleaning all the shelves and the walls. There was soot all over everything, like an ash dust. And it's not like I live in a dirty place, you know. It's
yeah.
just airborne from the fireplace.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I'm going to try it.
Okay, great. Now, here's another one. Okay, so lemons work great for ridding your fingers and hands from persistent kitchen cooking smell, most notably raw garlic. But why waste a lemon when you can rub your hands together with coffee grounds? All right, then. Okay, next, musty closets and smelly mud rooms. Okay. Filled with dirty and dank shoes, don't stand a chance against a satchel filled with coffee bean remains. Okay. While you probably want to let this, you probably want to test this out on one piece of furniture. Legend has it that if you steep the used grounds in some hot water, apply a cotton swab dipped in the warm liquid to the table or chair scratch, it will lessen the appearance greatly, okay? And then lastly, don't just start rubbing your body all over with coarse coffee grounds. Instead, try mixing some of those leftovers with a cream-based body wash. Pat on the skin with a washcloth and gently exfoliate your most calloused areas. You know, some of these sound really, really great. A few of them, like the hair and the body, you know, I mean, I love coffee, but, you know, there's a lot of people that don't like coffee smell, and they don't necessarily want to smell it in close proximity of anybody, especially if you're sleeping in the same bed, under the same roof. And I just got done talking to somebody that said I was kind of shocked that they did not like coffee, the coffee smell or the taste at all. They said it really repels them. So, and that was last week. So that was kind of interesting. And I know you just said that you don't drink a lot of coffee, so, or coffee at all. So
I don't drink it all, but I love the smell of it.
Yeah, well, there you go. But maybe you can knock on the doors of some of your friendly neighbors and get some of those coffee grounds to the ones that do absolutely drink coffee, so we can, so you can test some of those things, especially with regards to your fireplace. And then lastly, I was going to share, you know, we're moving to daylight savings time, so we jump ahead, right, an hour, correct?
Yeah, spring forward, fall back.
We spring forward. Interestingly, though, I had no idea that there's some places, even in the United States, and I know you have dual citizenship, but I did not know until today that there are two states that do not observe this. Now, let me briefly say one thing about one of these states. I would say the majority of the state does not. And that would be Arizona. That's one of them. So there is a part, apparently, that does, but majority of Arizona apparently does not, nor does Hawaii. So that's kind of interesting stuff there, you know? That I just didn't know. And then lastly, really quick here, I heard of a story today. I'm not going to get into real great detail, but people can Google this. There's a woman by the name of Mandy Batchelor of Indiana who was rushed, I don't know if you heard about this, to the hospital with a mysterious abdominal pain late last month. And so she thought she was going to have emergency surgery, but instead, to her amazement, she gave birth to a healthy baby boy. And she was shocked.
You're kidding.
No.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding you. And she's 33 years old. You know, I believe them, but I'm just wondering, really? Did you not look any different? Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, how can you not tell there's a baby swimming around inside you?
Yeah, that is kind of, that's kind of.
I mean, your hormones change and your weight hopefully changes and your appetite, and just, you know, you just feel different. You should have a sense of knowing something's going on there.
Well, she said that this time it was a little bit different than the last, including that she had very little weight gain, and she had periods. She had periods every month. She even visited a local doctor 2 months before giving birth because she felt sick, and that in addition to being tested for the flu. Batchelor had been given a pregnancy test, and it came back negative.
Wow, that's weird.
Yeah, so people might want to Google that. So again, interesting stories. So anyway, I'm sure you have a couple of interesting stories for me. Maybe I'll be shocked too.
Yeah, maybe. I have a sweet one. It's not shocking. I just thought it was kind of nice. I guess it was today even, there was a woman in the Bronx in New York City who actually won almost $2 million, and she won it by using the numbers that came in her fortune cookie.
Oh, yeah,
I heard about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, because I've looked at those numbers and thought, oh, yeah, right, you know, and I've never even thought to use them. But, you know, she just said they felt right. And, you know, have you ever bought a lottery ticket?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and how do you pick the numbers?
And, well, you know, and I usually do quick picks or, well, sometimes I, you know, I think of certain numbers and I'm like, okay, I'm going to write those down. But, of course, those numbers that come out in fortune cookies many times, I don't even think about it, you know?
No.
I just never.
And she thought they felt good. So she used them. She won. Yay for her.
Yeah, I mean, with, can you imagine? I mean, God, what I would do with that amount of money, gosh, I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know what I would do. Gosh, I mean, I guess I would walk around and I would, I don't know. I have no idea. I know I would probably give a lot, you know, because I do believe in that and giving out a lot. But that's awesome. Good for her. So next time I'm looking in a fortune cookie, I'm going to grab up those numbers.
Yeah, I bet you a lot of people are going to do that now. I wonder how many of those cookies have all the same numbers in them. You never know, right?
Yeah, right. So, and then what's next?
Yeah.
Do you have another thing for me?
You know, I saw this human Barbie. Have you ever seen human Barbie? There's this woman.
What?
She's a Russian woman. She's a young woman. She's absolutely gorgeous. I saw a photo of her. She looks like Barbie, but she's human. And she's to the stage now where she says she wants, she's just about ready to live on light and air alone. Can you believe that?
No, I think it's time for her to really see somebody about that. That's a little bit strange.
You know what? I've heard of people that she says she doesn't need any more food anymore. It's amazing. I've heard of some people that, you know, it's really unusual, but they don't actually eat. And it's not like they don't have some kind of a disease or, like, you know, whatever the non-eating diseases and they're not trying to starve themselves to be skinny minis or anything like that. They actually do not require food. And
that's
she says in
odd.
Recent week, mm-hmm. I know it's really odd, isn't it? I thought, wow, that's really strange. But they don't even eat. Yeah, and she says she hopes it's, go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, you probably get hunger pains. Could actually get sick, you know, and it's probably not good for your fluid. It's probably not good for different levels in your body. I mean, I think you have to be very careful. You know, people take things to an extreme, and then if you, without knowing things, they end up in really with bad. Problematic issues. So people should really.
And that's, you know, that's normal people. I mean, what we would consider normal people.
Exactly. Not Barbie people.
But I think that there are not always necessarily people out there that are exactly like us. We just assume that there are. And, you know, I know this other woman, I don't know her personally, but I know it wasn't a hoax or anything. It's not like she was trying to starve herself. She just had no hunger and food didn't. She just did not need to eat. And this girl, her name is Valeria, and she's saying that in recent weeks she has not been hungry at all, and she's hoping that it's the final stage before she can subsist on air and light alone. But you know, the other interesting thing is she's been interviewed by like a Canadian magazine, Vice magazine, I guess last year ran an article on her. And what it said was most of the world doesn't know is that Valeria is not a real girl at all, but a time traveling spiritual guru whose purpose is to save the world from the clutches of superficiality and negative energy. What do you think of that?
Well, I think it's a bunch of baloney, and that's what I think about that. I think, I think anybody, and I'm gonna be really pointed about this and opinionated about this, but anybody that spends that amount of money, okay, on looking like Barbie, first of all, is a narcissist. Okay, now this is pretty heavy duty stuff that I'm gonna say. I've seen what this, living breathing Barbie and Ken look like. There's something definitely wrong in changing your whole being just to look like some kind of doll. I mean, that at some point you have to think, gosh, and the amount of money that is spent to look like Barbie or Ken, really, quite honestly, it's not real. And wouldn't you do yourself and others just a world of justice if you were able to use that money and donate? Now, I don't want to go into my humanitarian, mumbo-jumbo, but, I mean, wouldn't you think that it would be, gosh, you know, I don't know how much Barbie spent on her makeovers, or not makeovers, but all of her surgeries, et cetera. I don't know how much Ken did, but I would guess it was thousands upon thousands upon maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars. Wouldn't the money be better spent helping and feeding people that really need the help? You know, that's my thought. But it is kind of amazing to see these people. I saw pictures of them, and I thought, God, I don't even know how I would react if I saw them. Then I don't know if it's the same one, if there's a group of Barbie and Ken lookalikes, but they last year showed, I was watching a video of Barbie and Ken, these people that are Barbie and Ken lookalikes that have had all the surgery done. They met each other.
Where were they from? Is it the same woman?
It might be. Yeah, one of them was foreign, but they met each other, and it said something like they didn't particularly enjoy each other's company, and it had a picture of both of them. And it had a picture of both of them, and they looked miserable, and they just looked so plastic, you know. But of course, they were trying to emulate little plastic dolls. So, what else can we be thinking? But anyway, thanks for sharing that. That's interesting, you know. So for those people that want to find out about the living, breathing Barbie doll, who's actually a human being, probably not from another planet,
from another planet. And I guess they're doing something called following Breatharian. I've never heard of that, but it's just where they live without food or water. And she's got 994,000 likes on her Facebook page, so I think, you know, anybody could probably find her there if they wanted to see.
Well, listen, I want you to stay with me here, Nancy. I want you, thank you for joining me. You're starting to cut out in the studio, and I'm hearing every other word, and I don't know why that is. But hang tight with me, because joining me, we're going to be actually interviewing, I don't know if you've heard of Channing Chase, but she's better known as Dorothy or Dot Dykeman Campbell in AMC's hit series Mad Men. And it's really a very funny story. She has a lot of background, a lot of credits to her name. She's played, she's been in many different theater productions. She first appeared at the renowned Charles Playhouse in Boston. She's a founding member of Pacific Resident Theater in Venice, California. She's won, which has won, actually, 22 Los Angeles Drama Critic Circle Awards, appearing in numerous stage productions of both New York and Los Angeles. Chase has been seen in major roles in Edward Abbey's A Delicate Balance, even plus appearing in Les Liaisons at the famed Pasadena Playhouse. And the list goes on. She's been featured in over 60 national television commercials, including Dell Computers, BMW, First Nationwide Bank, Glade, Discover Credit, goes on and on. Commercials running on daytime soaps, which, I've seen her many times, Bull Detergent, Joy, Arm & Hammer, Baking Soda, Bounty, Downy. She often played Mrs. Know-It-All for Cord Aid, Good Season Salad Dressing, Ortega, Tacos, and Safeguard Soap. And the list goes on to her credit. Channing has baked for Duncan Hines, and topped the cake with Cool Whip, worked with computers for Dell, drove BMWs, Cadillac, and First Nationwide Bank commercials, won a coveted Clio Award. So let's see if we can reach Channing right now.
Hello.
Hi there. Is this Channing?
It
is. Channing? Hi,
Channing.
This is Joey from Live from the Bay with Joey in San Francisco, and you're live, and thank you for joining me. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm just great. How about you?
I'm doing good. Were you enjoying, you know, I'm in Northern California. You're in Southern, I take it. So did you guys have nice, did you have nice weather there today?
We did.
I know.
We did, to get over the rains of Ranchipur.
we
had
know.
All these leaks in our house.
Right, right. Well, joining us also from Canada is my friend Nancy Murdoch, and she's listening in from Canada. And they've been going through, they've had a lot of cold weather, really cold weather. And so I kind of feel bad talking about our weather today, but we're kind of burned out on, I know, we're kind of burned out on a lot of rain. We just seem to have been dumped on with rain here in Northern California. So I'm glad I found out that you folks in Southern California are sharing our pain as well with the rain.
Yes. The rain brings problems too.
I know, because everybody forgot how to drive, right?
Oh, please. It's a big deal when there is something called weather in Los Angeles.
I can imagine. I can imagine.
It's like a blizzard.
Yeah, exactly. And your I know the highway systems down there are a little bit different than up here, but we've gotten really, we're starting to get a lot of congestion as well, and it's kind of frustrating because we didn't have any rain for a while. We were like basically in a drought, and then all of a sudden, like over a course of like 24 hours, it just started to rain like crazy. Like it was like all the rain had just stayed in the clouds, and then all of a sudden it just came flying down all within 24 hours, and it was just,
oh my god,
you know, yeah, it was constant. It was
like
just
it was
like,
saving up.
Exactly, exactly. So anyway, thank you so much for joining us, and we've already kind of given the audience a little bit of background on you, and of course they know about your role and this role as Dot or Dorothy Dyckman Campbell in the AMC hit series Mad Men. Tell me, I'm interested in knowing how that came to fruition, because you know, it's such an interesting character. Not only that, it's real life. You know, watching you talk, and you can see that your character is suffering from, well, maybe first stages of dementia. That is so real in so many people's lives, and then how it affects your son. And I know that, and I know this firsthand, when you have a parent that's older, and even dementia or Alzheimer's or anything like that, or memory issues, not just, you know, not just dementia or Alzheimer's, but as we progress in age, it can affect people. It affects their families quite a bit. It affects the people that are taking care of
them. Well, they get very frustrated.
Right. Right. How did you land this part? How did this all work out? Because, of course, you've done a lot of stage work. You've also done a lot of commercials. So how did you get this opportunity? How did it all happen? And tell me a little bit about this character and what that means to you.
Well, I auditioned for this role when it was a pilot.
Uh-huh.
They were going to do, you know, it wasn't any big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my agent said, you know, go for this audition for the mother of this character, Pete Campbell. And we didn't, nobody knew that it would turn into the colossal hit that it did.
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't a lot of pressure. You know, you just went and auditioned, and I just could relate to this character. You know, there are certain roles that are just right for your persona, you know, who you are in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And this role just seemed to fit me like a glove. You know?
Yeah, I mean, you do a fabulous, just a really, really great, great job in this role. I mean,
thank you.
And it's pretty hysterical. Some of it is just, you know, absolutely funny because how you explain things. And then, again, for people that are going through issues with their parents or loved ones, I think that they can so relate to the frustration of your sons, you know? And then how you get the names of one of the wife wrong and how he gets all frustrated and it goes on and on. And is this, now are you going into your, is this the seventh season?
Yes, and it's going to be done sort of like the way they did Breaking Bad. They're going to do a short season and then a short season next season.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to take the 13 weeks and make it into two.
Wow.
How do I want to say that? two seasons they're going to get out of it. But
wow.
This will be the end of the series.
Wow.
But Matthew Weiner is a genius, you know.
Wow.
He is, the attention to detail on this show is just amazing. I mean, this show was done when Madison Avenue was in its heyday.
Uh-huh.
The authenticity of the advertising industry is right on target.
Mhm. Well, it's amazing. Now, what was interesting in reading about your background and a little bit about the show, and it's very unique. And tell me about this: the man who played, was it the man that played your husband?
Yes.
He actually did die. Is that right?
Christopher Alport is his name, and
uh-huh.
After the first season. He went skiing, and he got caught in an avalanche during the hiatus, and he was buried alive.
Oh, my God.
I know.
That must have been
It was so sad because I found out about it when I went to go to rehearsal, and they had him... they had the character die in an airplane crash when actually it was a skiing accident. And I go there and I read the script and I say, oh, poor guy, he got written out. And they said, no, he had a skiing accident and he was killed. And he was just
a
wonderful actor and a wonderful person. Great,
and he wasn't, he wasn't that old of an actor, really, quite honestly. I mean,
yeah.
I think if he was still living now, he'd probably be about 66 years old, something like this. Is that about right?
I think so.
And so this happened in 2008. What a sad, it's just sad, I mean, when you hear things happening
shocking.
Like this. Absolutely.
You know, to go to rehearsal and discover that this all went down.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, I mean, people know him. His film credits include Savage Weekend, To Live and Die in L.A., Jack Frost, Jack Frost 2. It goes on and on and on. And then
oh,
he,
yeah.
of course, had TV appearances, credits like The X-Files, Commander-in-Chief, ER, Facility Mad Men, of course, that we're talking about, and Brothers and Sisters, he was in that as well. So just very, yeah, what a sad, I mean, I was really,
yeah.
I couldn't believe it when I read it. I was like, what? And then when I, excuse me, and then when I saw who it was, I'm like, I know who that guy is. I've seen him.
Right.
Yeah, but you hear of these stories all the time. I just heard a news story today about it. Yeah, a child being buried in an there was an avalanche, and thank God he got out. You know, and I guess this was right by his where their home. You know, there was some kind of But you hear about these things all the time, and it's just so sad and devastating to all. So. Anyway, so what's next? What is next for Channing Chase? Moving forward here, do you have some ideas what you want to do after this and moving forward? Or
well, right now I'm auditioning for pilots. This time of the year in L.A. is called the pilot season, and all the shows that are going to come up in the fall, the new shows. Are auditioning, and so I'm auditioning for other roles because I don't really know whether my character is gone for good or not, because at the end of the last season, Dorothy is lost at sea.
Oh, so there could be a possibility.
So we don't know. My fantasy is that John Hamm takes up sailing to combat his alcoholism, and he just happens to be sailing by when I fall off this ship that I'm on, taking a trip with Manolo, caretaker
Manolo.
Lover. Manolo.
Manolo. You know, it's
and I
funny.
Fall
I
into
had,
John Hamm's boat, and off we go.
I had to laugh because your son on the show called him a Spanish fly, and I'm part Spanish, actually. And I had an uncle. Yeah, and I had an uncle, you know, back in my maternal side, because my mom's family comes from Spain. So, but I had an uncle by the name of Manolo. So. I was
really?
Yeah, so I was, like, laughing. And then when I heard him say something about that little Spanish fly, and I'm like, I haven't heard that. So that was kind of interesting. So now what do you think about, you know, there's a and I do some acting on the side, and I've been
well, I looked you up and on the internet, and you do everything. You're a singer, a songwriter, an actor, and they said a visionary. Well, that really piqued my interest.
Well, how it really started was years ago. I don't know if you remember. Do you remember the television show Chips? Do you remember that show with Eric Estrada?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I was young and that show was out, I was very, very young, people used to go, oh, you kind of look like him, a little bit like him, you know, and then I got more and more of that. But I'm lighter complected, but people kept saying that, oh, you look. So, and I used to do acting in school and et cetera, and that's how that, and then I was associated with a lookalike celebrity agency down in Los Angeles, in Hollywood, and then I started doing my music, and then I traveled, and I was a spokesperson for World Vision that feeds children all over the world, so, and held concerts, and done acting on the side, et cetera, et cetera. And then when ER came out, of course, with George Clooney, by that time I was in my main job, my day-to-day job, is in pharmaceutical and hospital sales, and so when that show came out, I'd have people staring at me, you know, like looking at me kind of strange, and I'm like, "What? what's the problem? And so one time I had to do a presentation in an emergency room early morning, and one of the nurses said, "Did you want a stethoscope, doctor?" And I'm like, "What?" And they said, "Has anybody told you you kind of resemble George Clooney?" And I said, I don't even know. Yeah. So I've gotten, you know, so this is where I get into. But what I was going to say was a while ago I was approached about doing a web-based series, you know, and I had never, ever heard about that. And they had asked me if I would be interested in auditioning for a web-based series. Why do you think, what is your, I mean, you've been in acting in this business for a while, and what is your take on this? Why is it that, or that you believe that this is taking off? Is it just because everybody is so into high tech, doing things with computers, et cetera, and the way the younger people mm-hmm. are, how they're guided, how everything is, you know, on their phone and on their computer, and do you think
yes,
that that's Go ahead.
They're on their iPhones and on their is it iBook? No.
iPads and sure.
iPads, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you can tell I'm not part of that generation.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. I don't think that I'm in my early 50s, but I'm not really tech savvy either. I have, I just am not really. I have an iPad, and I have a regular computer. Yeah, I do have an iPad, but you know, sometimes it's really challenging for me. And it's challenging, and you know, it's not that difficult because there's icons. You just point to them, and then. But I've had a really hard time with this whole tech movement, but that's the way it's going. And so I didn't know what web series were. I had no idea. But I guess
you said yes, didn't you?
Well, you know, not really. So, but maybe in the future I will. When I feel more, maybe more confident per se, then I would probably say yes. So I've heard really good things about web-based series. I've heard not so good things about web-based series. I think it's a wonderful thing because we're moving that way anyway.
Yeah.
You know,
you don't know what they're going to come up with. I mean, look at Mad Men.
Right.
It won an Emmy and for quite a few seasons, and people enjoyed going back to that era.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
They enjoyed looking at the costumes, and they were so authentic, the gal who does them. She won an Emmy for another series, and I'm looking for her name, Janie Bryant, and she had won an Emmy for Deadwood. You remember that series?
Of course, yeah.
And she did the costumes for Mad Men, and she goes out of her way to make it authentic.
Right, but the AMC that TV, yeah. But your where you folks appear now. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's AMC, and that's a cable and satellite television channel, right? Owned by AMC Networks. Now, when
AMC is noted for series that are period. They're not, you know, they're in another era.
Yeah, which is. You know, I think that's one thing that's great about your series. I got to tell you, when I went and I started watching it, I was like, wow, this is like going back into time, you know? Everything looked very, very authentic, you know? Very
oh,
authentic.
Oh, and they go out of there. Well, we have to wear the underwear from that period.
Oh, that's interesting.
We have to wear those, the bullet bras, we call them. And the no pantyhose. You have to use the old way of hooking up your stockings.
Wow.
Oh,
wow,
yes.
That's...
Everything is from that era.
So being that this has been such a hit, I want to know, playing somebody on the show that with the beginning of all, you know, well, dementia, mm-hmm. What was that like? Is it really, I mean, as an actor, I know a lot of times to get into a role, a lot of times for me, I even, after I'm done with a role, I'm still so affected by it. There are some people that just can move on to the next thing. I don't necessarily mm-hmm. do that, and I get very mesmerized by the character. I get very into it.
Well,
a lot of that could be my
research. I went to an old folks' home mm-hmm. and watched these people how that had dementia and mm-hmm. and how they behaved. And they always were very, very loving people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one thing that Dot was not.
But, you know, it's funny because she's so, her character is just so forthright. You know, she's got a lot of class, but she's so forthright mm-hmm. and as a matter of fact about things, you know. And
yes.
But there is a loving nature to her as well, I think. And in what I had seen, there's just a very, there's a sweet nature to her, you know.
I think,
you know, but it must be interesting. And then because it's been such a success, there must be times that you're just, you know, putzing around town and going here, there, and everywhere. And, you know, when people recognize you and their heads turn and, I mean, isn't that
mm-hmm.
kind of a,
well, people
isn't that
come
kind
up
of a nice thing?
In the gym. After, it is a nice thing. Actually, I was at the gym today, Gold's Gym. I'm a member of that.
Uh-huh.
And somebody came up to me and said that how much they enjoyed my work in this past season. And it's a wonderful feeling.
Oh, absolutely.
To know that you have really entertained people.
And you strike me as an individual that's very approachable, which, I mean, I picked up rather quickly from just in conversation with you from the first couple
mm-hmm.
of minutes. You seem very approachable, which I think is really good. I think that's great. I wish I could be more like that. I think I'm not necessarily, I mean, this is true confession, even though I do this type
yeah.
of work and even though I may sing or do some acting, I'm very reserved when I'm not doing those things.
Really?
So, yeah, so I would say, and when I was small, I used to be pretty shy. So it might come from that. And I think that maybe I have to be very careful because that can come across as being arrogant to people if they don't understand where you're coming from, you know, if they approach you. So I'm kind of weird that way.
Well, that is really funny that you're describing yourself that way because my manager said, who is this person that's going to interview you? And I said, his name is Joey Nardone. Is that how you pronounce your last name?
Well, you're absolutely right. If you were saying, so in Italian, you would say Joey,
yeah.
You would say Nardone, absolutely. I say Nardone.
And so he said, "What is this, a gangster?" I said, no, hardly.
I know because there is apparently there's some kind of movie or video that's the life
mm-hmm.
of Joey Nardone or something. And
oh, no
I'm
kidding.
Like, Yeah, and I'm like, oh, no, no gangster. And unfortunately, you know, if you're, and I'm part Italian, right, but we just did a show the other night, which was called Mamma Mia, That's Italian, and we had some famous people on that are Italian-Americans and Italian-Canadians, et cetera. And it's funny how there's so many stereotypes of, like, Italians, thanks to, Sopranos was probably a good show, but it doesn't really depict Italian people, you know? And so a lot of people think, you know, especially with certain names like Nardone or Stallone or things like that, that you're kind of gangster-like, you know? But it's funny. But I was just going to say, sometimes I just have to be very cognizant of how I come across, because I'm not the type of individual that likes to be recognized. And it's bizarre, because why am I doing this kind of stuff? If you're out there in front of the public,
yeah,
you would think that you would like to be recognized, and I don't. So,
well, maybe what you like to do is hide behind a character.
I think so.
Maybe that's what makes you comfortable.
I think you hit it right on the head. I think that's probably it in a nutshell, you know. But I could tell right off from talking to you, I thought, what a nice lady. She's very approachable. She seems like you would be easy to converse with if somebody saw you, that you wouldn't get all bent out of shape. Because sometimes, as you are very well aware, when people are in the limelight, in any way, shape, or form, they allow that to affect them, and sometimes they're not as approachable.
Oh, the diva syndrome.
right. And some of the, you know, now you have a lot of credits to your name, and you've mm-hmm. done a lot of commercials, and so having done like stage work and commercials and now this type of television series, do you have a favorite, or are they all your favorites?
Well, you mean whether stage or
yeah,
TV
yeah.
or film?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, one good thing about the stage is that once the play starts, nobody can
mm-hmm.
say cut.
mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You're that character, and you play that right through to the end.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got to say, I think my favorite job, of course, has been Mad Men, because the whole cast is so top notch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are no prima donnas on that show, and
mm-hmm.
you know all of those actors, John Hamm.
Mm-hmm.
John Slattery, who
mm-hmm.
plays Roger Sterling,
mm-hmm.
you know, the gray-haired guy,
mm-hmm.
and Christina Hendricks,
mm-hmm.
who plays
Joan. Yeah, you have a wonderful
cat.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth Moss, and
mm-hmm.
the young actor who played my son, Vincent Kartheiser.
Mm-hmm.
They're all good, really good actors and good people and fun to be around, and that's
mm-hmm.
just the luck of the draw, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You just
mm-hmm.
you don't know what the people are going to be like once you get into a show.
Right. Well, it's always important.
But that was lucky.
right. Well, it's really important when you're working with a good cast and a lot of friendships and working relationships blossom from that, right? A lot of people have just, yeah. And so you're very fortunate. Now, I'm wondering, since you're not, you know, we were talking about being tech savvy and all that, since you're not all
mm-hmm.
into that, but if somebody is interested in, I know that they can Google your name, Channing Chase. They can follow you on Mad Men. They can watch the series, you know, all of this. Do you also have, are you on social media at all? Do you have Facebook?
Well, I'm on IMDb, which is International Movie Database.
Right.
IMDb. And if anybody goes on that, they can see exactly, you know, what I've done. And I believe that there's a short video on that website too.
You know, I'm on here right now, and I have an IMDb page as well. But I would just encourage people that are listening to do as Channing said. So you can just basically, if you go on Google, you can Google Channing Chase, and then you're going to get a choice. And right away, I think one of them is that IMDb page. They'll be able to see that for you. Well, you've been a delight. I thank you so much for joining me. Tell your who was it? Your agent that thought I was a mob man?
My manager.
Your manager. Tell your manager no, he's not, and he's not the Joey Nardone from the video. It's funny because if you it's some kind of video that I was having people ask me, is there a movie out about you? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're like, but you know, there's so many Joey Nardones, and that's why I go by Joey Vilches Nardone. But there's so many Joey Nardones, and especially back east. But I sure enough typed up my name, and I was like, oh my God. And it was about some kind of fighter in New York.
Is this a family name? Vilches?
Oh, yeah, it is, actually. Yeah. It's a Spanish, that's a Spanish name.
Ah.
So, yeah. So, interesting. That's interesting, you know. So, but I was going to say, Channing, the first thing that people get, if they go on Yahoo, now I just did Yahoo, and they type in your name, Channing Chase, your IMDb page is the first thing that you can see. And then it comes up. And then it comes into Mad Men, which is second. And there's some really nice photos there of you. And then people can follow you. You have a Facebook account as well. It's showing. So anyway, I thank you so much for spending time out of your, you know, out of your evening. I know it's not the easiest to always talk to people on, you know, on the radio, et cetera.
Oh, well, you're very easy to talk to.
Oh, well, thank
That's
you.
The
I
thing.
Try to be. I try
but
to
you're
be.
Not going to tell me about the fact that you're a visionary?
Well, so what is visionary?
Or do you not address that on your show?
Yeah. Well, I probably don't always address that. But what does, when you hear the name visionary, when you hear that word visionary, what does that denote to you? What does that mean to you?
You have spiritual insight.
Exactly. And that's what it is.
But I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Well, so, you know, I have a strong connection. Well, I believe a pretty strong connection to God. I don't like to get into religion or anything like that. But I've always had, since I was very small, pretty intuitive gifts that have seemed to be in operation for me for years. And I think that many times that does help in talking.
Well, being Italian, you must have been raised as a Catholic or with some sort of religion.
So that's
in your
interesting. So that's interesting as well. And I'll tell you really quickly, my father's family were Roman Catholics when they first came to the United States. Actually, my grandmother. Mm-hmm. My paternal grandmother was Maria Pacelli, and she was one of the cousins,
the
first cousin, to Pope Pius XII.
Really?
So, and then on my Spanish side, they were Roman Catholic as well. But I will say that probably 90% of my family became Protestant. So I was raised Protestant, so that was kind of interesting. People would go, God, you're Italian and Spanish, and you're not Roman Catholic? And I'm like, exactly. So they found that really interesting.
So I'm getting your backstory now. This is how I approach a role. Whenever I'm working on a role, I do a, what they call a backstory. I go back to where how this character was educated, what schools they went to, how they met their spouse, all of those details that aren't in the script.
Very good. And then that helps you get into the
flesh out this character.
Absolutely. Well, you do a very, very wonderful job. Your role is just, it's fantastic. I would just really encourage people, if they haven't seen the show, that they need to see it. You can also go on Google. You can see a lot of YouTube videos of the show as well. And I think, you know, your character is one that people just love. You know, it's just... I don't know. It just seems very endearing to me. And not only that, I think that a lot of people that are dealing with parents, grandparents, what have you, they can relate. And the actors, the two actors that played your son, your sons.
Yes, Vincent Kartheiser played Pete Campbell, the younger one, who nobody seems to like. He's good at making enemies. He's kind of got his nose in the air.
Now, is he the one that you always have a problem saying his wife's name, or you get it kind of mixed up? Is that the one, or is it the other one that I'm thinking of?
No. I get her name mixed up. Oh, Trudy, yes, and his former wife. His former wife was Trudy.
Okay.
And then she leaves him because she finds out that he has been unfaithful to her.
Right.
At one point, I think I called her Judy, and he
exactly.
corrects me.
Yeah, exactly.
Out of frustration.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. Well, anyway, thank you for joining us. Thank you for delving into...
Are we going overtime? Is this bad?
Yeah, we're going into overtime now. But I thank you. It's so easy to talk to you. And, you know, like I said, I pick up pretty much really quickly on people when I first start talking to them. And, again, I've been in the medical industry for years, and having dealt with doctors, et cetera, and having to introduce them and talk to them. And so it's very easy for me to relate and talk to people. That's why I think you said it was really easy to talk to me. I like to find out a lot about people, and I like to respect people just the way I like to be respected. And, again, I thank you for spending the time with us this evening. I know people are going to be blessed by listening to this program and to your wonderful story. And I wish you so much success and perhaps in the future.
Thank you.
You know, yeah. Mm-hmm. And perhaps in the future our paths will cross. So, again, thank you so much for joining us. And I would just, again, let people know that they can just Google your name on Channing Chase, and they can go to your IMDb. They also can go to your Facebook. And they can follow the show. So, anyway, thanks again.
Well, it has been my pleasure.
It's been my
pleasure. And maybe sometime I can find out about this visionary business.
Absolutely. You seem intrigued about that.
I am, because I had an experience about 12 years ago. Are we off the air now?
No, we're still on the air. We're still on the air, but that's okay. Is it some kind of experience that maybe we could share on a future show?
Well, I don't know. They're talking to me. One of the networks is talking to me about it because they're contemplating doing it.
We might be able to. I'll tell you what, Channing, maybe what I could do, if it's okay with you, maybe what I could do is maybe off the air I could talk to you a little bit and
sure.
I'd be more than happy. So maybe I could call you some other time, and we could talk a little bit about that. Would that be okay?
That would be fine.
Okay, wonderful. Well, anyway, I want to thank you once again for joining us, and from the studio, I know that, again, people are going to be very just encouraged and just electrified and blessed by hearing your story and just a lot about your character. I think it's just an outstanding show and an outstanding character.
Oh.
So my best to you, okay?
Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Folks, that was Channing Chase. What a lovely lady. And Nancy, I hope you're still with me there in Canada.
Yeah, I'm still here. It was a real joy to listen to her. And you know, I wanted to say that the interview that I did with you, she can listen to that. It's Mystics Demystified, if it's okay for me to say that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Remember,
well,
we did
yeah.
it about a year ago, and, you know, it's on my website under the radio shows, under Traditions, and it's all about Joey and his mystic experiences.
Yeah, I just try
anyway,
to...
Can I give the website?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
go
so
ahead.
Channing, if you wanted to go to nancy@noon.com and under radio shows, just look under Traditions, and there you'll find an interview that says Mystics Demystified, and it's all about Joey and his experiences.
Well, it's not all about Joey.
Well,
I don't want people
no,
to think it's all
about
Joey.
No, we talked about mystics and visionaries and all kinds of things like that. But there's a bit of, you know, where it came from your beginning, you know, how
Absolutely.
You started out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you revealed things.
She was just a joy.
You revealed some things
she was...
I think she'd be interested in.
Yeah, absolutely. She was a joy to talk to. You know, a lot of times, as you know, when you're talking to people, you can pretty much pick up rather quickly how the interview is going to go within, I would say, probably the first couple of minutes, right? And she just seems to be such a nice, very nice soul that you would be able to approach. And she has no airs about her. You know, just very
yep,
down
none
to
none at all, and seems like no stress either, just a very beautiful person.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, Nancy, I am so glad that you joined me tonight, and I know people are going to be thoroughly blessed, too, by your show talking about stress. Like, again, when we first started, it's so prevalent in today's society. Stress is all around us. That's, you know, it's just coming at us 24/7, and we have to find a way to be able to rechannel that. And especially with men, we tend to be stressed a lot. And it could be and I'm not saying that there are women that are not stressed, so I'm not trying to sound like, you know, one-sided on this, but men seem to be, especially family men, seem to be very stressed in society today just because of the pressure, you know, the pressure of working, probably in some cases the pressure of being the sole breadwinner, the pressure of raising a family, the pressure of being a devout and loving husband to their wife, and all these things coming at you 24/7, your job, you know, trying to meet your... I was talking to a friend of mine today, Nancy, that was, you know, just having a real struggle in life, you know, just stressed out from work, stressed out from the relationship, stressed out from, you know, just life in general, problems. And driving around today, I was really trying to be focused and cognizant of my surroundings. And I would say that a good 90% of the people that I saw out there, from going out to lunch, from sitting and having a coffee, from observing people, from seeing the way people drive, they're on edge. They're just ready to just explode. There needs to be a way to be able to combat this. There needs to be a way to regroup and to refocus and to deal with stress. And my hat goes out to you that you're able to right now have a show that's dealing with this. And I would encourage people that if you really need to talk to somebody about this, Nancy, why don't you give them you do have Facebook, right? And
yes, I do have Facebook.
Do you have Twitter
yep,
as well?
Yep, I'm Nancy Rock for my personal page and Nancy at Noon for my business page.
Okay. And so on social media, you have Facebook. Do you have any other social media outlets, or is that the only one that you're using right now?
Oh, no. I did the whole gamut. I've got it all. I've got Google Plus and Twitter and LinkedIn and whatever else the heck is out there. I've got it.
Okay, and on
you
Twitter,
know what the easiest way is?
Uh-huh. I was just going to
really
find
just
out.
Just email me or pop on the website. You know, just email me at nancymurdoch@live.ca. That's the best
okay.
way to reach me.
All right.
Personal.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, on
yeah,
that
I've got
note.
Simple tools and techniques and, you know, just simple methods, for people to deal with the stress. Because, you know, I'm under it too, but part of the reason, you have to actually recognize it like you did today when you saw yourself under stress and the people around you. And a lot of people don't recognize it. Whereas, you know, I live a very laid-back life, but I also know that I'm under stress from sleep deprivation, like we were talking about at in the beginning of the show with the cold winters, and I'm up every 2 hours, hour and a half, 2 hours, feeding my wood stoves, and this has been going on for 3 months, so I haven't had a full night's sleep in 3 months. So I know that that causes me stress because I am sleep deprived. I mean, that's just like nutritionally deprived. People are that causes the stress on the body. So there's a lot of different ways that we are encountering stress, and everybody's involved in it, even if you think you're relaxed, because of the changes in the world that are happening right now, just the energetic changes and the global changes. So we all need to know how to deal with it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that that's really an important insight, even global changes. I've noticed a big change in people's behaviors, even over the last year, just major shifts. And it's not just, and you know, I'm in an area in the San Francisco Bay Area that's high tech, and this is the home of, you know, Yahoo and Amazon, Google and, you know, every other thing, and LinkedIn and, you know. But people are uptight. And there's so much pressure, and people need, like I said before, people need a way to release that and to be able to move forward. So anyway, I thank you for joining me all the way from Canada. Please stay warm. I know it's easier said than done, but anyway, I do hope and wish and pray for you that it gets warmer, and I know that you guys are suffering pretty extensively with all this with all the cold.
Cold, it's the snow. We've had an amazing amount of snow this year, and we live in a land of horizontal snow. That means it blows right off the lake, and you can't see. Our roads have been closed so many times this year, we can't get in or out of town. There's been days where we're all sort of stuck in town. It's amazing.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
So that even causes, yeah, yeah.
So you just have to stock up on food and wood.
The weather is an amazing thing.
Yeah, you just have to stock up on food and wood, right?
Yes, and good books.
And good books, which reminds me, and we're not going to say the name yet, you're going to have come back and we'll talk about your books and all, but I'm just putting a bug in your ear. Get me those books. Okay.
Okay.
You'll do that. I know. Okay. Well, I want to thank Nancy again for joining me all the way from Canada. So thank you, Nancy, very much.
You are welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for joining me. And then again, we want to thank our guest all the way from Southern California, our other guest, Channing Chase, for joining us as well. Lovely, lovely lady and just a wonderful actress. And I hope everybody will get a chance. You need to get on your computers and Google her name, Google the show. You can go on YouTube and watch some little excerpts from her show, but I would say just encourage you to watch that show. It's just a great show. And anyway, so again, folks, I thank you for joining us today on Live from the Bay with Joey. And until the next time, this is Joey saying take care.
Thank you for joining us today on Live from the Bay with Joey.